calculating the end of infinity. In modern mathematics, we often think that the end of the number line at the point of infinity is an incalculable event. However, from the mathematics of infinity, we work with the end of infinities all the time. For example, infinity minus 1. Infinity minus 1 really is the point also before we reach the number 1, i.e. 0.99999999, because it reduces the infinite fraction of 1111111, which is an infinite of infinities. Whilst that might sound a little bit confusing to start off with, what we can view it is from the other way round. If we imagine the number 1 as being a whole number, then the number that is the fraction just below that whole number will be the number will be number 1 to infinity 0, i.e. 1.0000 on into infinity, and at the end we put a minus 1. This creates the infinite version of the number 1, from which all calculations are actually performed. This is because we cannot actually reach the number 1, we can only use it as a unit measure. The unit measure was described by Archimedes, which separated out the number 1 from other constants. In fact, in the mathematics of infinity, the numbers 0 and 1 are of a particular function, as is the number 2, which is different from the number 2 as ascribed by mathematics, which is actually the number 1.99999 to infinity. Similarly, the number 1 in mathematics has a 1.000 to infinity plus or minus 1 as its number 1. The number 1 is actually an unreachable event in terms of square numbers. For more information on boundaries of the 1, you can see the infinity of 1 and its function with the square root and squaring functions, which are actually multiplicative and divisive within the reciprocal and whole number space. What is important here is that when we divide, we are dividing by a number that is both a reciprocal to move along the number line towards the number 1, whereas when we are in the whole number space, we are dividing by a number that is of a whole variant, and therefore it diminishes towards 1. For more information on the structure of numbers, you can see our posts on the 8 infinities on the number line, and the nature of reciprocal and whole space and how that works within fourth dimensional mathematics. Returning to our subject matter of how do we calculate the end of infinity, firstly what we must realize is that when we divide the we are working in a base system, and a base system will cause an interference with our mathematical calculations as we move through to infinity. However, we can analyze the base system number 10, and out of that analysis, begin to understand how we can unravel this complexity of base number systems lower than base infinity, so that we can begin to unravel the end of the infinite. To begin with, we realize that we have the number 1, which is actually 0.99999 to infinity. As we have discussed in our solution to pi, when we have the number 2.0555 to infinity divided by 37 equals 0.0555555 to infinity, we know we have hit the equilibrium point of the end of the infinite disruption. If we begin to think, we can actually divide many reciprocals into the number 9. However, the number 7 holds a particularly interesting phenomena in the sense that it forms a 6-digit number code, 142857. For those who are interested in vortex mathematics will know that this is the vortex code, which when divided by 1.125 will, or 1.25, will obviously resolve back into the nines and the zeros. Dividing the 9 and 0, 6 in sets of 6 into 999000 or 111000, which in turn disrupts the infinite. Other numbers, such as 666, reveal the number 9999. For this reason, just quickly to clarify, for this reason, when we work in infinite number sets, we normally work in sets of 6 nines. Therefore, we can put 999999 and divide it by 142857, and we can resolve back to the number 7. Or more precisely, just under the number 7. As the infinite fraction, therefore, is 999, and we can resolve 7, the 6 nines are now can be divided by 6 sixes to receive the, to reveal the number 1.5, which becomes the number 15, which in turn becomes a function of a division. A division of 3 into 2. If we put the numbers 3333 that are missing, we resolve to the number 3. Therefore, we can see that with the 666 resolving to 1.5 and the 333 revolving to 3, the 3 and 6 are actually a halving function, which do not appear in the equation that divides 999 by the 7 vortex code. When we divide the number 999 by 222, what we find is we get the number 4.5. Once again, we have now divided the number 9 in half, and therefore we have created a division of 9 into 2. What we are looking at here, therefore, begins to become simple ratios of dividing into 2, dividing into 3. Again, when we come to the number 8888, we reach the number 1.125, which, as we know, when it reaches the vortex code, will resolve the vortex code into a regular 000999. It breaks up the vortex code into smaller parts. On the other hand, when we get to 99999 and divide that by 555, what we get is the number 1.8. It's a doubling function of the 9, but actually moves the 1 across. This means that actually, in a sense, we have found the midpoint to the number of infinity, whereby the number 1 is now being pushed forwards in space as it does so. So the number 8 will emerge as another number that will disrupt the base 10 function, and then will distort the infinite. And as it moves through the infinite of numbers, so the numbers at the front of the number line will also change, and that creates the difference between the pi equation that we have stipulated and the actual result when performed on one-dimensional mathematics of a calculator. However, we can peer into the back end of the calculation and, using what we have just said here, begin to understand the mathematics that resolves some of the reasons as to why those numbers are being distorted. So, for example, the 999 divided by 111 equals 9, which in a sense will just create a loop of itself, whereas the 999 divided by 5 will create a 1.8, which is 9 doubled itself, yeah? Whereas the 222 will end up halving the 9. So there we can see the 4 and the 9, the 222 and the 555 acting as a doubling function around the number 9, whereas the 111111 is actually just a resolution of 9 back into the number singular number 9. By analysing these codes, we are able to decode many of the things about Base 10 and its effect on the infinite, and in which case we can then begin to work backwards through the number by finding the bounce point by which that number reduces into infinity. The bounce point for phi just happens to be slap bang over its reciprocal, and that means that it creates a new constant with phi constant. That's how the phi constant is created, by bouncing phi over its reciprocal over the one. So we can talk more about the bounce number of phi at another point in time, but that's just a little bit about how to calculate infinite numbers at the back end of infinity. We can, if you like, just to finish off, just show a few things about the equations of 1 over 3. If you think about it, it's going to be 3333399999, so we know that that will resolve to the number 3. And if it resolves to number 3, then naturally that's going to create a sort of wave, if you like, throughout the rest of the numbers. And as we know that 25 is a quarter, you can imagine that the quarter wave will be distorted itself as it moves through the numbers. We can see that actually we have the 7 code coming in. The difference there between the actual real number, if you like, we have 25, 323, 25, 7, 8, 2, but then actually on the number on there, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the ninth, we find a division. So what happens is, if we are able to calculate with the infinity of nines compared to the infinity of one, as I know, with 9.99999 into infinity, we find that there is a difference at the after 999, and what that means is that's where the point kicks in. What we find out is the difference there. There's a 77, which is very important, a 34, which is also 7, and then we move into the break of the number code, which goes into infinity, which is 8264848869. And the number 8 being very important there. We can talk more about some of the number codes there that we're seeing. But at the end of it, what's important here is that we have a 7-7 breaking down to 3-4. And that shows us that we're actually in a 3-4 scenario here with the third and the quarter pi. And the 7-7 there breaks obviously down into 7s and 11s. And so we can begin to understand them. We move back a step, and now we've got the 999 and everything's okay. So what we're sort of saying here is then that as the numbers break down through the infinite, through the number E being sort of a particular type of infinity, the number 1 being a particular type of infinity, thus we arrive at the infinite of pi, as in a sense, yeah. And actually those infinities can be calculated. So that's just to give you a little bit of a rundown on some of that thing. So just to clarify, if you take the number, if you take the pi equation we were talking about, and you perform it with the number 1, or if you swap that one out for a 0.999 into infinity, you will find there is a difference, and you will find that you can find the number 77 breaking down into 3-4, and that's where after that we fall into what we call the square root function, which will disintegrate the number further into infinity. But that will come through something called the square root of 2, which is the division function, and then we plus 1, and then we come to the square root of 8, and you can square it that way, and that's how that kind of works. Anyway, we can have more of that. You can see that in our pi solution, which looks at the square root of 3 and the 2 square roots, 2 silver, unified by the 2 silver means. That's one of our pi solutions in the fourth dimension. And if you want to know more about that, we can do some more broadcasts at some point shortly. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, this is Colin Power from Into Infinity, decoding the pi solution.